All right, so are you ready for a deep dive? We're going to be talking about moths today.
Moths.
Yeah, but not like the boring brown ones you might be picturing, right?
Right.
We are going to Sweden for this one, where some scientists have found two moth species that are kind of breaking all the rules.
Yeah, they've been tracking these moths for, get this, 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and everyone's been talking about how insect populations are declining, right?
Right.
Well, these moths are doing the exact opposite.
Like they're thriving.
Exactly, thriving. It's incredible.
So what do we know about the study itself? What kind of research went into this?
Well, they did it right, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got 20 years worth of data in this paper we're looking at.
Okay.
And it's not just like one method they're using either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they've got these high-tech light traps set up in three different locations to catch the moths.
Okay.
But they're also using data from people like you and me.
Citizen science.
Yeah, exactly. GBIF, have you heard of it?
The Global Biodiversity Information Facility. Yeah, it's like this giant database of observations from all over the world,
Excellent.
right?
So they're combining all of that to get this really complete picture of what's happening with these moths.
So it's like a multi-pronged approach, both the high tech and then also the power of the
Yeah,
people.
exactly.
Okay, so that's how they got the data. But what did they actually find? What's so special about these moths?
Okay, so get this. These two species, they're called the white point, and the vines rustic. They're pretty new to Sweden,
Okay.
but their populations have just exploded.
Exploded like how?
Like exponentially. We're talking crazy growth, which is practically unheard of these days, especially with insects.
Right, it's like the opposite of what we've been hearing about with insect decline.
I know, right? It's incredible.
So how many moths are we talking here? Give us some numbers.
Okay, so back in 2004, when they started the study, they only caught seven. Yes, seven white point moths.
Seven, wow.
Fast forward to 2023, over 6,000. Yeah. And the vines rustic is even more dramatic, from zero to almost 7,000 in the same time frame.
So it's not just like a little increase, it's a full-blown population boom.
It's a moth mania.
Okay, so how do we know this isn't just some random fluke? Is this a real trend?
Well, they use the statistical model called a Poisson distribution.
Okay, and that basically tells you.
It tells you if the pattern you're seeing is statistically significant, is it real or just random chance?
Right.
And in this case, it was definitely real.
So these moths are multiplying like crazy.
Yeah, and the big question is why? What's going on here?
Exactly. It's like they've cracked the code of success in a changing world.
Right.
Okay, so how did the researchers actually track this moth invasion? How did they figure out where they were going?
Well, picture this. They divided Sweden up into this giant grid,
That's
right?
like a giant checkerboard.
Yeah, and each square was about 60 square kilometers.
Okay, so pretty big squares.
Yeah, and over the years, they tracked how many of those squares each moth species managed to occupy.
Okay, so it's like a map of their conquest.
Exactly. So what they found was the vines rustic, that one's a real adventurer, they found it in a whopping 564 grids.
Wow, so they're spreading far and wide.
Yeah, and the white point, it was in a respectable 360 grids.
Okay, so not quite as widespread, but
Still a
still.
pretty impressive expansion.
Yeah, and you said they were using light traps too, right?
Oh, yeah, so here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They found a direct link between the number of moths they were catching in those light traps and the number of those grid squares that the moths were occupying.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so it turns out that if you just look at how many moths are in one spot, you can get a pretty good idea of how far that species is spreading overall.
So it's like a shortcut for understanding how insect populations are moving and changing.
Exactly. You don't have to survey the entire country. You can just focus on a few key spots.
That's really valuable.
Yeah, it saves a lot of time and resources.
Okay, so we've got these moths. They're booming, they're spreading like wildfire. But there's another twist to this story.
There's always a twist.
They're not just increasing in numbers, they're also changing their schedules.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
So what do you mean by changing their schedules?
Their flight period, the time of year when they're active as adults.
Okay.
Well, it's gotten a lot longer, like way
How much
longer.
longer are we talking?
Over 100 days longer.
Wait over 100 days. That's like adding 3 months to their calendar.
It's crazy, right? And to be extra sure, they used another statistical method for this one called a negative binomial distribution.
Just to confirm that this is a real thing.
Yep, it's the real deal.
So these moths are not just thriving, they're thriving for longer.
Yeah, they're really making the most of their time.
It's incredible. But it also makes me wonder, what does that kind of change mean for the whole ecosystem. It's like they're changing the rules of the game.
Right, and that's exactly what we need to explore next.
All right, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Buckle up.
We're going to delve into those questions and try to unravel this mystery of these moth mavericks.
Sounds like a plan.
So what are some of the potential suspects behind this population explosion?
Well, we can't talk about changes in nature without bringing up the big one, climate change. It's got to be playing a role here, right? Warmer temperatures could be letting these moths, which normally prefer warmer places, move further north.
So they're taking advantage of this warming trend.
Exactly. But there's a but.
There's always a but.
This study actually suggests that climate change alone can't explain this explosive growth we're seeing.
Okay, so there must be more to the story.
There's always more to the story.
What else could be giving these moths an edge? What other factors are at play here?
Well, think about how our landscapes are constantly changing.
Yeah, with agriculture, urban sprawl.
Exactly. And you know what? Those changes could be creating new habitats that are perfect for these moths.
So they're kind of like adaptable, like the urban pioneers of the moth world.
That's a great way to put it. They're generalists, you know?
Meaning?
They can eat a variety of plants and adapt to new environments quickly. They're not picky eaters.
So they're not stuck in their ways?
Not at all. They're going with the flow.
And there's another possibility too, right? Something about predators.
Yes. So when they move into these new areas, they might be leaving behind some of their natural enemies, the things that used to keep their population in check.
So fewer predators trying to snack on them.
Exactly. It's like moving to a new neighborhood with no bullies.
That's a pretty sweet deal for the moths.
Yeah, no kidding.
So they've got this buffet of food all to themselves and fewer predators on their tail.
They've hit the jackpot.
No wonder they're thriving. But here's the question that's been swirling in my mind this whole time. Just because they're doing so well, does that mean it's good news for the ecosystem?
The million-dollar question.
Right. Or could there be some downsides to this moth mania?
That's what we're going to explore next, my friend.
Okay. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
It's going
to
be good.
So we've got these moths. They're living the high life, multiplying and spreading like crazy. But is it all sunshine and roses? Could this abundance actually be too much of a good thing?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? We've been focusing on their success, but there might be a downside to all this.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
What if this isn't just a success story, but an actual invasion?
An invasion? Wow, that puts a whole new spin on things.
Right.
I was thinking this was all good news, but now...
Yeah, it's not that simple.
So what kind of problems could this abundance cause?
Well, think about the plants these moths rely on for food.
Right. Are they eating too much?
Exactly. What if their population gets so big that they start harming the native plant populations, especially if those plants are already stressed from other things, like habitat loss?
So this is like adding insult to injury.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not just the plants themselves. You mentioned other herbivores too.
Oh yeah, all those plant-eating animals that are part of the food web.
Right, so could these moths be messing things up for them?
It's a competition for resources, right?
Yeah.
And these moths might be crowding out other species that depend on those same plants.
It's like if you go to a buffet and suddenly a whole new group of people show up and they're taking all the food.
Exactly. The other guests are going to be hungry.
So it's not just a moth-eat plant situation?
No, it's more complicated than that.
It's potentially moth versus moth. Or moth versus butterfly, or...
moth versus everyone.
Right. Okay, so we've talked about the plants, the other herbivores. What about the predators? What about the animals that eat these moths?
Oh, yeah, good point. This abundance could be a feast for certain predators.
Right, like bats, birds.
Exactly. And their populations could actually increase because of all this extra food.
Okay, so that sounds like a good thing, right? More bats and birds.
Well, maybe not.
Why not?
Because what if they start to rely too heavily on these moths?
Oh, I see.
And they neglect other prey that they used to eat. It's like if you get used to eating at an all-you-can-eat buffet and you forget how to cook at home, what happens when the buffet closes?
You're in trouble.
Exactly. You're not prepared to find food on your own.
So even something that seems like a positive outcome could have these unforeseen consequences down the road.
It's a chain reaction, you know? One change can lead to another and another.
It's like these moths are throwing a giant party and we don't know who's going to end up with a hangover in the morning?
That's a great analogy.
So this is why it's so important to study these creatures, right?
Absolutely. They might seem insignificant, but they can tell us a lot about the health of the whole ecosystem.
Like they're a canary in a coal mine.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've explored some of the possible downsides of this moth mania, but we shouldn't forget they are a real success story In a world where so many insects are struggling, is there anything we can learn from their ability to adapt and thrive?
Absolutely. I think they're showing us the power of adaptability and resilience.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, we're able to take advantage of these new opportunities, like those changes in land use we talked about. And they're not picky eaters. They can feed on a variety of plants, so they're not limited to just one food source.
So it's like they've got this toolkit of survival skills that's helping them navigate a changing world.
Exactly. And while we can't just transplant those skills to other species, we can learn from them.
So what can we learn? How can this research help us protect other insects that might be more vulnerable?
Well, it can help us identify which species might be at risk and which ones might have a better chance of adapting.
Okay.
And then we can focus our conservation efforts accordingly.
So it's not just about protecting pristine wilderness areas anymore. It's about
being more strategic, yeah.
Thinking about how we can help species adapt to this new reality.
That's a big part of it, for sure.
So it's not enough to just sit back and watch. We need to be more proactive.
We need to be thinking about how to create landscapes that are more resilient, that can support a diversity of life, even as the climate changes.
It's a tall order, but
it's an exciting challenge, too.
Yeah, we're talking about shaping the future of life on Earth.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
I think this deep dive has definitely given me a new perspective on the natural world. I never thought I'd be so fascinated by moths. It just goes to show you can learn something from every corner of nature.
Absolutely. Even the seemingly insignificant parts.
Right, like moths.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of science, isn't it? There's always more to discover, and each new discovery can change how we see the world.
So true. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here. We've explored the moth's incredible success story, the potential ripple effects of their abundance, and the lessons they can teach us about adaptation and resilience. But before we let our listener go, we always like to leave them with a final thought, something to chew on. So we've been talking about these moths in Sweden. They seem to be doing pretty well for themselves, despite all the changes happening around them. It makes you wonder, are we going to see more stories like this? Will some species be able to kind of ride the waves of change while others get left behind?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't it? It's like, are we entering a new era where the ability to adapt quickly is what determines whether you survive or not?
So we might see some species, like these superstar moths we've been talking about, just flourishing in unexpected ways.
Right, while others, the ones that are more specialized or can't move around as easily,
they might struggle to keep up.
Exactly.
It's a little bit sobering when you think about it, but it's also a call to action, right? If we know some species might be more vulnerable, shouldn't we be doing something to help them?
Absolutely. And the first step is understanding. That's where research like this moth study comes in.
So the more we know about how different species are responding to these changes,
the better we'll be able to help them. So it's not just about protecting these pristine wilderness areas anymore.
No, it's about being more targeted, more strategic with our conservation efforts.
So thinking about how we can actually help species adapt to this new reality. Exactly. Things like restoring habitats that have been degraded, creating corridors so species can move between these fragmented landscapes, or even in some cases, assisted migration.
Assisted migration, what's that?
That's where we actually help species relocate to areas that are more suitable for them.
Wow, so we're not just passive observers anymore. We're becoming active participants in shaping the future.
That's right. We're learning to work with nature, not just against it.
I like that. Working with nature, it's a big responsibility, but it's exciting too.
It really is.
Well, I have to say, this whole deep dive has really changed how I see things. I never thought I'd be so fascinated by moths.
They're pretty amazing when you get to know them.
They are. It just goes to show you that there's so much to learn from every part of the natural world, even the parts we might think are insignificant.
Absolutely. There's always something new to discover, always something that can surprise us and challenge what we think we know.
So for our listener out there who's maybe feeling a little overwhelmed by all this, what's the one thing you want them to take away from this deep dive?
Stay curious, never stop learning, and find ways to get involved.
Get involved how?
There are so many ways you can support a conservation organization, participate in a citizen science project, or just spend time in nature, observe what's happening around you.
Those are all great ideas.
Every little bit helps.
Well said. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the surprising world of moths. It's a reminder that nature is full of wonders and there's always something new to learn.
Until next time.
Take care.